Amen. And what a privilege it is to serve the mighty God, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Well, this morning, we're trusting God to really minister life into your spirit, and may you go away knowing that God has really spoken into your heart and brought encouragement into your spirit, and that you will you'll start to soar like an eagle. Talking about eagles, many years ago, and by the way, it's good to have my wife Judy here, and a friend of mine, Pastor Gary Bonnet, who is from South Africa and used to be a pastor in South Africa about 10 years ago, and they've since immigrated to Australia. So anyway, it's so good to be here with you this morning. Many years ago, I used to be a youth pastor in a big church in Sydney. In fact, it was the church that Scott Morrison, the former Prime Minister, used to attend. And I was the youth pastor in this church. And we had a soccer competition, interdenominational soccer competition. And one Saturday afternoon, we were out playing soccer. I was the youth pastor of the church, and I was on the team. And all of a sudden, an eruption, an argument took place between the two captains of the opposing teams, two captains. And I thought to myself, this is poor behavior. How can two captains carry on like this? They're supposed to be examples. And I thought it would be my responsibility to, perhaps bring about a bit of conflict resolution and solve the problem. So I walked up to these two captains that were, at loggerheads between one another, and I spoke to them. And then all of a sudden, the captain from the opposing team looked at me. He looked at the other captain, and he said, "Who's this turkey?" Well, I've got to tell you, I felt insulted. How dare he call me a turkey? He obviously didn't identify that eagle-like characteristic in my life. Isn't it funny that we're quick to call people derogatory bird names? We're quick to call a person a galah, or a chook, or an old duck, or a turkey. Why don't we ever call a person an eagle? I mean, come on. An eagle talks about the best of the best, above average, the champion of champions. And I'm praying that we would identify within each other those eagle-like qualities. And so, when you think of an eagle, you think of the best of the best. I mean, in golf, we talk about an eagle. Can anyone tell me what an eagle is in golf? Is there any golf players here? What's an eagle in golf? It's minus two. It's two strokes under par. And then we talk about eagle wit, which means having a great sense of humor. Then we talk about an eagle eye, which is having an acute eyesight. And then we talk about an eagle pilot, who is above average. He's excellent. He's a great pilot. And so, when you think of an eagle, you think of the best of the best. We're not talking about galahs here. We're not talking about chooks or turkeys that are an old duck. We're talking about eagles. And you do a Google search, and you put eagle in that Google search, and see how many eagle companies there are. There's Eagle Insurance, there's Eagle Finance, there's Eagle Sport. Here in Western Australia, we have none other than the West Coast Eagles. And so everybody wants to be associated with an eagle. Now you go to chook, and you put a Google search for chook, and see how many financial groups would call themselves chooks or galahs. Or turkey. Nobody wants to be identified as a chook or a turkey or a galah or an old duck. We all want to be associated and identified as an eagle. And so this morning we're just going to have a little look at what it means to be an eagle. Everybody wants to be identified as an eagle. The image of an eagle is found on flags, on banners, on seals, on stamps, on coins. Everybody wants to be associated with an eagle. The eagle is the symbol of the United States of America. And the Bible bears witness that the eagle is without equal. Listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10. It says here, as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had a face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had a face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had a face of an eagle. And then in Revelation chapter 4 verse 7 it says, the first living creature was a lion. The second living creature like a calf. And the third living creature had the face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like an eagle. Each of these creatures, or each of these faces, represented a characteristic of God. For example, God has placed man as the king of the earth, with the characteristic of wisdom, intelligence, rationality. Then we get that God placed the ox as the king of the domestic beast. And the characteristic for an ox is diligence, hard work, and sacrifice. And then we have the lion, the king of the wildlife, with a characteristic of strength, courage, and wisdom, and leadership. Then, of course, we get the eagle. The eagle is the king of the air, with a characteristic of vision, swiftness, and spiritual insight. But we ask the question, why the eagle and not a chook? At least you can eat a chook. Why an eagle and not an ostrich? At least an ostrich is a very big bird. Why an eagle and not any other bird? Let me tell you. Because an eagle portrays God-like characteristics. The eagle's strength, the eagle's beauty, his fearlessness, his freedom, and his majesty are all attributes of a God-like characteristic. This bird, more than any other bird, has captured the imagination of mankind. You see, God likens himself to an eagle. That doesn't mean to say that God looks like an eagle, but he has the characteristics of an eagle. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, it says, you have seen what I've done to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The point that I want to bring to your attention this morning is simply this, that if God likens himself to an eagle, and we are created in the image of God, then shouldn't every one of I portray God-like characteristics? The characteristic of strength, of freedom, of power, should be evident in every child of God. Unfortunately, friends, this is not the case. And many people live their lives in a state of spiritual identity crisis. They don't recognize who they are and what they have in their relationship with God. These people are living far below their God-given potential. And I'm wondering today, how many of you feel as though you are living far below your God-given potential? God has got so much for you. You know, you weren't born to crawl, you were born to run. People live far below their God-given potential. They don't see themselves as anyone special. They don't see themselves with having any great ability. And as a result, these good people live an earthbound existence, scratching around like an old chook, scratching around. No sense of destiny, no sense of purpose, living an earthbound existence. There's no forward motion in their lives. They're just brooding over their problems, brooding over their upsets, brooding over their concerns, never reaching out to fulfill the plan and the purposes of God in their life. You see, friends, to live like an eagle, a Christian must live with a new sense of an awareness. Every one of us here today, we need a new sense of awareness of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, I'm reminded of a story that I once heard many years ago. A farmer went out and he went out into his paddock and he was looking for his sheep. When all of a sudden he came across this huge nest that had fallen out of the tree. And as this farmer was ruffling around this broken nest, He came across this egg and he picked it up and the egg was still warm. And so he took this egg home and he put it under one of his brooding chickens. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, this little chick broke out of its egg. And after a period of, say, 4 or 5 weeks, this little chick looked at all the other little chicken chicks and thought, there's something wrong here because I don't have the claws like these other chooks. I don't have a beak like this chook. I don't have the ability to scratch like this chook. I don't have the sound like a chook. I don't have the colored feathers of a chook. And he came to the realization that he just didn't fit. He didn't belong. He felt like a square peg in a round hole. He didn't feel as though he fitted. And yet he thought he was a chicken. And so he tried to squawk like a chicken. He tried to scratch like a chicken. He tried to behave like a chicken. When in fact he wasn't a chicken. He was living a life of delusion. He was living a life not really aware of who he was. And then one day there was this huge commotion in the chicken run. And all the chickens were scattering all over the place, ducking for cover. And this little bird who was rescued by the farmer, he wondering what was going on. What was happening? As all the other chooks were running for cover, and he didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden he looked up into the air and he saw this huge big bird. And with his eagle-like vision, he saw this beak of this bird. And he said to himself, oh my goodness, his beak is like my beak. He looked at the claws of this big bird. He looked at it and said, oh my goodness, I've got those claws. He looked at the feathers and the colored feathers and he said, oh my goodness, I've got those feathers. And all of a sudden he came to an awareness that he wasn't a chicken, but he was like that big bird soaring up high in the heavens. And he jumped up on a pole. He stretched out his wings. He waited for a gust of wind. And all of a sudden he gave a big eagle-like squawk. And he pushed himself off and took to the heavens like an eagle. Amen. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. He came to the realization that he was an eagle. And I'm wondering today, how many of us here today, we feel as though we really do have a spiritual identity problem. We don't really know and realize what we have in Christ Jesus. We're living below, you know, we're living with unfulfilled potential. We're crawling instead of running. We're feeling so defeated on the inside. There's no sense of joy. There's no sense of purpose. There's no sense of excitement in our lives. And all we're doing is existing like an old chook, when in fact God has got so much more for us. Amen. We've got to come to the realization that we're not born from below, but we're born from above. We need to come to the realization that we're the head and not the tail. We've got to come to the realization that we're rich in God and not poor and defeated in so many ways in our life. We need that realization, just like that little eagle. When he saw everybody scattering for cover, he looked up. And there he saw his destiny flying above him, thinking to himself, whoa, that's me. And he launched out and started to soar like an eagle. Amen?
Amen.
Give me a good Pentecostal amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my gosh. You know what I'm doing today? I never preach from notes. but I haven't preached for a long time, and I'm feeling a bit, rusty, and so I'm having to preach from notes because my memory is not as sharp as it was before, and so I've never preached by a computer before, and the stupid thing keeps on going out. So I just don't know what to do to keep it on. So if you don't mind, I'm going to make a few little errors or take a bit of time here getting it sorted out. And I've lost my place, you see. It's ridiculous. But does it matter? Of course it doesn't matter. We still get in the Word, doesn't it? Okay. And so we find that this little chicken, who felt like a square peg in a round hole, he found his place in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. No longer was he living an earthbound existence. No longer was he scratching around like a chook. No longer was he frustrated because he had wings and he couldn't fly. No longer was he kicking up the dust of the past and brooding over all their troubles and picking away at each other. He started to fly like an eagle. And I pray that today you may look up into the heavenlies and you may identify yourself as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, full of joy and excitement, full of destiny and purpose, that you're not just average Joe Blow, but you are created for accomplishment. You are engineered for success. You are endowed with the seeds of greatness, because the Bible tells us, he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. So the first thing we need to do is to recognize that we are bona fide members of the cosmic family of God. Amen. If you've got to be an eagle, then you've got to follow after an eagle. Amen. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. When Genesis tells us that we are created in the image of God, it doesn't talk about, or it doesn't mean that we're physically or bodily created in the image of God. You see, the Bible tells us in John 2 verse 24 and 4 verse 24, and there are heaps of other scriptures, it says that God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we say that we are created in the image of God, we need to understand we're not talking about bodily parts. We're not talking about an image, a physical image, but we're rather talking about the characteristics of God. For example, God is a God who has intellect. He's a God who has emotions. He is a God that has will. God appreciates beauty. He appreciates creativity. Why? Because he created it. He's a God who appreciates worship in song and in instrument. God has a moral standard. He is the God of all truth. He is a holy God. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God who is a God of truth. He is a just God. And he is also a God of love. God is a relational God. He loves. He has compassion. And he's sympathetic. So when he created Adam and Eve, we need to understand that when Adam and Eve were created, they were created flawless. Without blemish. They were perfect in every way. They were perfect image bearers. They reflected and imaged the mirror of God. They reflected and mirrored the image of God. The same creative characteristics, the same morals, the same beauty were identifiable in Adam and Eve. They were the perfect image bearers before the fall. They reflected the beauty of God in every facet, except that they weren't all powerful and all knowledge like God. But the characteristics were there all the same. They were image bearers of God. Unfortunately, and we all know the story, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that perfect state of perfection had become tarnished. It had become corrupted. No longer did they reflect the beauty and the image of God in all His purity. And now we know and we've seen the consequences of sin. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, it brought wide range consequences upon all mankind. The Bible says, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God." Humans were distant from God forever. Suffering and death entered into the world. Human relationships were damaged. The physical world was damaged. The created world would no longer function as God had planned and intended for it. The Bible says all of us have sinned. The image of God has been tarnished. And mankind in their fallen state no longer reflected the image of God. That was a terrible state after this, after the fall. The image of God was tarnished. It was corrupted. It was polluted in man when they sinned. Okay. But the good news is this, friends. The good news is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be the sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ." Through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith in God, the Bible says in John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life." And when we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, hallelujah, we then become image bearers with the characteristics of God once again. Through the death and resurrection. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 13 onwards. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Therefore all have died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them was raised again. So from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Although we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, listen, "Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things have become new." Amen. The first passage of Scripture I ever learned when I first got saved and baptized and filled with the Spirit was 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, why is it there? Whenever it says therefore, you need to know there's a good reason for it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In other words, that image has been restored. And from that very moment of salvation, from that very moment of acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now become an image bearer, reflecting the characteristics of God in your life. We become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. An exchange takes place. Jesus takes our sin. He takes those old garments, those filthy garments, and He places on our lives the garments of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's good news. Amen. Amen. And so once again, now we can reflect the image of God. We are called to be image bearers. Every one of us, we're called to be image bearers. Let's go back to the little eagle chicken once more. He had an identity crisis. He was living an earthbound existence, thinking he was a chicken. It's only when we closely observe the mighty eagle of all eagles, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we recognize what we have and what we are in Jesus Christ. We reflect the glory and the beauty of God in our lives. And the closer we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, through worship, through commitment, through our lifestyle, the more we commit ourselves to God, the more we reflect the beauty and the radiance of His image. Amen. And that's what God requires of every one of us. By virtue of our newfound relationship with God, we have now been adopted by the Father and redeemed by the Son. And we have the privilege of calling Him our Daddy. We bear the characteristics of God. Isn't that wonderful? You and I are called to be image bearers. An image bearer is a reflection from a mirror. That mirror was shattered. It was broken. But now through Jesus Christ, we now reflect the glory of God through our lives. Amen? And so that's what it means to be an image bearer. And so we constantly need to ask ourselves the question, are we walking in a manner that really does bring glory to God? Are we reflecting the beauty of our God? Are we reflecting His characteristics in our lives? Or are we carrying on like an old chook, scratching away in the dirt, brooding over our problems, frustrated, having no sense of destiny, having no sense of purpose? We're stagnated in our relationship with God. We're going nowhere in a hurry. We're not really reflecting the glory of God because of stagnation, because we're dead on the inside. I sincerely believe, friends, the more we pray, the more we seek the face of God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our spirit, the more we cry out unto the Lord, a process of sanctification takes place. And the more we do this, the more we reflect the image and the glory of our God. Amen? And so it's important then that we come to the spiritual awareness of who we really are. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, says the Bible. How many of you know that we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength? You cannot do it. You can try, but you will become frustrated. The Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And the more we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, the more we reflect the beauty of His image in our lives. Amen? You know, when my children were growing up, my responsibility was to equip them, to empower them, to educate them. Judy and I took our responsibility as godly parents very, very seriously. It was my responsibility as their father to provide for them, to protect them, and to prepare them for the future. In that time, they were with us. Judy and I were, we did the very best that we could to equip, empower our kids to give them the necessary tools to do what they needed to do in life. And when they left home, it was their responsibility to take what they learned and to put it into practice. In the same way, God has given to us the wherewithal to live the Christian life. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to righteousness. He's given us everything. Our responsibility is to take hold of what God has given to us. The life of righteousness, peace, and joy. He has given to us all that we need to live a life as a child of God. That's why no one has any reason or purpose to call you a turkey. So when I look at that young captain who insulted me and called me a turkey, I could have responded very negatively. That would have been carnal. That would have been an act of a galah or a chook. And I would have only confirmed that he was right. But because I'm a new creation and I'm an image bearer, I forgave him. I loved him. And rather than argue with him, I spoke with gentleness and meekness. Amen? You see, that's the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? That's the kind of response that we need to have when we're rubbed up the wrong way. We've got to act with godliness and holiness. We've got to do the right thing and say the right thing. Amen. Otherwise, we just rattle off at the mouth and we say things that we ought not to say. And then we've got to spend about 5 hours confessing our sin. But isn't it easier just to reflect His glory? Wouldn't it be easier just to reflect, you know, the characteristics of God and walk in the way of righteousness and peace and joy? Amen. It would save us a lot of pain if we just recognized who we are. We've got to break free from this identity crisis. You've got to stop looking at yourself as a failure. You've got to stop looking at yourself and feeling condemned because of what may have happened in the past. You need to realize that you are an eagle. You need to stretch your wings. You need to wait for the gust of the wind of the Spirit of God. Kick off. Give a loud hallelujah and launch into the heavenlies. Amen. So come on, folk. Time for identity crisis is over. You've got to know and understand who you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are overcomers. In Christ we are the head. In Christ we are, come on, give me some words. In Christ we are victorious. In Christ, we experience the miracle power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, we can hold our head up and push our chest out and declare that we are anointed by God, blessed by God, overcomers in God. Amen. Is this getting anywhere this morning, or am I just rattling off from a computer? I'm trying to break free from the computer. Then the Bible talks about partakers. I think I got this somewhere. I've just got to find it now. You know, the Bible talks about being partakers. I don't know where that scripture is. I've got it written down here somewhere. Okay. Please find that scripture for me, somebody, and you can read it for me. No, you don't have to, because I found it on my computer. It says here in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceedingly great promises, that we through these may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world by lust. By virtue of our newfound relationship, we have been adopted by the Father, and we've been redeemed by the Son, and we have the great privilege of calling God our Daddy. Amen. We've been adopted into the family of God. And because we are adopted into the family of God, we are partakers of His divine nature. You and I are partakers of the great, exceedingly wonderful promises of God. It's the blessings of God that make rich and add no sorrow. And because you are a partaker in the household of God, you can enjoy, lay claim to the promises of God, live in the blessing of God, simply because you are a child of the living God. You know, my children, they used to come home from school. They were teenagers. Where do you think the first place they would go to when they came home was? It wasn't to the bedroom. Does anybody tell me where it was? They went where? They went to the fridge. They went straight to the fridge. My son now is nearly 46, I think. My other son is, I don't know how old is he, 42. And the other, my daughter's 40 or something. They're all serving the Lord in some great capacity. And they would come home from school and they would run to the fridge. Now, I'm their pa. I'm their pa. And they just helped themselves to whatever they wanted. They opened that fridge. They take my custard slice. They take my beautiful dessert that my wife had made for me the night before. All the leftovers, bit of chicken here and meat there. And they just take. They just take, take, take on their part. They the takers. So they are the partakers. And you know, friends, I want to tell you that that same illustration applies to us. God has given us an abundance of blessing. Hallelujah! I shouted from the housetops because I am so excited that I belong to the household of God, part of the great family of God, and I can walk into the kitchen full of food and blessing and favor, and I take all that I can from God, His nature and His character, because He's my pa and I'm a taker. And may I encourage you here today, my dearest friends, let's not be shy, because we're part of the family of God. We have every right to draw from God all that we need that pertains to righteousness. Everything that we need in life is found in God. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these promises, all these things shall be added to you. Amen. God's not a stingy God. He's a God of love. He's a God of abundance. I look at this couple here sitting in front of me. 3 years ago, every time I came to this church, and I thank you for inviting me, this couple would come up for prayer. Every Sunday, brother, I came, and I'm thinking, oh God, where's this miracle? Where's this miracle? Where's this miracle for this baby? Oh God, remember that? And you've been praying. We've all been praying for them, haven't we? And I remember praying for them. And then I come back and to preach here, and she says, Pastor, she showed me her little bump. And then I come back another couple of months later, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I come today, and she's holding her beautiful 2-year-old baby.
10 months.
Oh, is it 10 months? You know, I'm getting old now. You know. But I look at them now, and you see, they're takers. They're just takers. They're just takers. They've taken from their pa the blessing of God. Amen. And now they've got a beautiful little baby. Thrills my heart. And we've all been praying. We've all been believing God for a miracle. There's a pastor who lives by our house and got a church there, invited us to preach over there. She was, desperately trying to have a baby. Same sort of scenario. But hallelujah, she's now pregnant and she's taking from her pa. And thanking God every step of the way. So basically, friends, may I encourage you today to be a partaker of the goodness of God. Don't feel that you have to beg and struggle, because God wants to bless you. In conclusion, I want to say this. We don't have to behave like turkeys anymore. No more. We don't have to behave like galahs. We don't have to live an earthbound existence. We don't have to scratch in the dirt. We don't have to brood over our problems and our needs. We are eagles born into the family of God. We are adopted by the Father. We are redeemed by the Son. We cry out, Abba, Father. He has given to us all power that pertains to life and godliness. And finally, we have become partakers of His divine nature. It's all there for us, friends. Let's partake of His goodness. Let's partake of His mercy. Let's partake of His truth. Let's partake of His righteousness. Everything that God has, we can reflect that and mirror that in our own lives. We're called to be image bearers. We mirror the image of God in our everyday way of life. Amen. So in conclusion this morning, may I encourage you not to live on the lowlands of life. May I encourage you not to struggle but to start soaring like an eagle. Recognize that God has created you to soar like an eagle. Not to scratch around like a galah or like a chook and to squawk away, but you're called to be an eagle. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm reminded of an eagle. Oh, I could preach all day long on an eagle's, but I'm just getting started now. I just feel a little bit of a wind-up. But I will say this, my dear friends. It's been a privilege speaking to you today. And I look at all you fearless eagles, and I pray that you will draw from the nature and the character of Christ all that's needed for your Christian life. There's no other way of doing it. You can't con God. There's only one way, and that's by seeking God, by giving you all to God. And I suppose that's where Judy and I are at this moment. We've been in a bit of a difficult place for a good couple of years, I might say. You know, ever since COVID, we've struggled, haven't we? Spiritually and in many other areas, physically and all sorts of things. But I really feel that God is stirring us up. I just feel like an eagle that's had its nest stirred up. You know what I mean? You know, when an eagle has its nest stirred up, Mother Eagle rips the nest apart and gets all the sticks standing up so that the little eagle can't sit down because everything is uncomfortable. And but as the little eagle is standing up, he's getting strength in his legs. He's flapping his wings. He's learning. Then all of a sudden, Mum comes along, kicks baby eagle out the nest. And baby eagle screams, blue murder. Ah, Mom's got a nervous breakdown. Help, help, help. And he just visualizes himself in a blood and snot and at the bottom of the rocks, broken bones. But all of a sudden, Dad flies underneath him. Picks him up and places him on the nest. And then Mum comes back the day after. Goes through the same procedure all again. Dad, help, help, help. Dad flies underneath, picks him up and puts him back. You know, there comes a time when God has to stir up our nest so that we can learn to fly like an eagle. And then suddenly, as this eagle is tumbling out of the nest once again because Mom has had another nasty spat and kicked little eagle right out of that nest, and he's screaming, he just realizes, hey, he looks at Dad and says, geez, look at Dad's wings. Look at Dad's claws. Look how Dad's flying. He pulls his legs up, pulls the undercarriage up. And he stretches out his wings and the fall is broken. He gives a bit of a flap and instead of descending to the ground and killing himself, he finds he's going in the other direction and he starts to soar like an eagle, just like his daddy. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know, friends, that's what God requires of us. And there's going to come a time that God's stirring our nest. God's been stirring our nest for a long period of time. I'm telling you, for a long period of time. But we start to feel that little twinge. We're starting to feel that muscle, that spiritual muscle starting to grow. We're starting to pick up in our spirit. And we know that the latter days will be far greater than the former days. Hallelujah. And God is not finished with us yet. We've not reached our use-by date. We're not completely having that fire extinguished, but the fire is going to burn brighter and higher and hotter than ever before. And stretch our wings and soar like an eagle, because there's so much to do out there for the advancement of His kingdom. Give me a big Pentecostal Zion. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.